Morning, Doug.
Morning, Beth. Did you guys
have
snow last night?
Yeah, we did. There's still a little bit on the ground too. How about you?
No, man, I had to start the fire this morning. It's like,
oh,
okay.
Really?
It's like, got the heat turned off, but we got to start the fire. So
yeah. How do your cows feel about it?
Oh, you know, hell, we just moved them up there up on top of the mountain here over the weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're probably snowed under too. So not liking life. Eric probably had
snow. I think it's supposed to be like 60 degrees today, though. So it'll be gone quickly.
So we had a lot of damage last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were out of power for most of the night. Got a lot of tree branches down and around. I mean, it was pretty awesome. I was out feeding animals last night at 9 o'clock because my wife forgot to do it. And it was really fun out there in the blizzard, getting soaking wet. So it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, we just had a little bit, but it was snowing pretty hard last night. And there's still a little on the ground this morning, but I haven't seen any problem, at least in my house. How about you, Eric? Did you get some snow up north?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought I was just an attendee. Yeah, we got a couple inches still on my deck. I had to go outside and shake my trees off, Tim. What's funny is I only have one pretty big tree, and so when I shake it, I have to stand underneath it to bear the brunt of that. Probably doesn't look very intelligent from the road, but saves my branches.
Yeah, we got way too many trees for that business.
Well, we've got the Route County weather report here. We've got reports from all around the county, so that's good.
Yeah. I took some pictures. I was going to share my screen this morning, but I didn't have a chance to download them from my camera yet. So maybe tomorrow I'll have some photographic evidence. It was pretty impressive.
I'm sure. The snowstorms this time of year are not light and fluffy. That's for sure.
Nope.
No, I always figure those things are like $1,000 rains, you know,
$1,000,
you know, just the water it puts out on the land and the rest, the pasture and
drying
things out. Yeah, it's $1,000 of rain.
Yeah, it was my turn to irrigate today. I think I did a pretty good job. So.
Yeah, good job.
All right. I think we have all of the relevant parties necessary here. Let's let's go ahead and get started.
So I do have a set of accounts payable, Mr. Chair, if you want me to go through that.
That'd be great.
So, Mr. Chair, I would move to approve the accounts payable. That would be cycle date 6-1 through 6-5 in the amount of $506,782. And I have a bunch of items here to note.
Second.
So there was a payment to the Chamber Resort for our annual payment for their help. We had the payment to Asset payments, well, a whole bunch of payments to those Advocates Against Battery and Abuse, Integrated Communities, Grand Fears, Lift Up, Planned Parenthood, Partners, Search and Rescue, Humane Society through our sheriff and our part of the Humane Society, Rocky Mountain Youth Corps, Totally Kids, Yampa Valley Autism Community Ag Alliance, and then we also had a payment to our JIC manager, Robin Shepard, as well. So total amount, $506,782.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Before we go into executive session for PDR Project 191, first of all, Kendra, what time is Clara planning on joining us?
We are set for, I believe, 10 40. Let me just double check one second.
So while we're waiting for that, I thought about
10:45.
Great, thank you. I thought it would be helpful if the three of us made, and maybe we already did, and I just wasn't paying attention, some determination about public comment. So when I look at our agenda for today, it's interesting that public comment is placed at the end of the agenda, whereas in the past we have taken public comment at the beginning of the agenda. And then the other item is, in the past, we've only entertained public comment during our Tuesday action agenda. And I'm wondering if we're planning on sticking to that, or will we be entertaining public comment at our Wednesday Board of Health meetings?
I guess the public health meeting would be fine to have some public comment and allocate some time there. And so I'd be all right with that. So, but I think we're still learning the curve, figuring out how we're going to do it. So I'm all right with, you know.
I guess the one thing that's been a little bit different here in COVID times is that in the past, it was pretty clear that all of our action items were taking place on Tuesdays. And now it seems like we've got action items and thing. And now that we're meeting 5-6 days a week, I'm not in favor of accepting public comment at every one of our meetings, unless there's a feeling otherwise.
So I think there's a difference between general public comment. So the public comment you're talking about at the beginning of our meetings isn't allowed to be in reference to a specific agenda item. It's just a time for general public comment. But then I think we should determine when we're taking action on specific items, I think we should be allowing public comment specific to those items as well. So I guess I would be okay with adding general public comment to the Tuesday agenda, just as we have traditionally right at the beginning. And then determining those items where there is a decision being considered and allowing public comment specific to those items. That would be in line with our normal practice. And those items may occur on Tuesday, but they may not.
Okay. No,
that would be my thought.
I think what you said makes good sense to me. Okay. Doug's with that. And then the next thing I would offer is, do we want to place some time constraints around public comment? I think I do. When I think about a potentially a controversial meeting where if we simply allowed everybody that wanted to make public comment, we could be sitting here all day. I would advocate for setting either a 30-minute or a one-hour time limit, along with individual time limits of, say, 2 or 3 minutes for each speaker. How do you guys feel about that?
We kind of talked about that yesterday, and so I'm all right with limiting it, and it's easy to cut them off. You cut them off, so.
I think it's your prerogative as the chair, but if you want our input, I would say that makes sense to me. I'm probably more inclined to the individual time limit than the overall time limit. I think that if there is a need for an overall time limit, you have to be careful the legislature does this. They'll say there's 15 minutes for the pro side and there's 15 minutes for, they'll do 3 hours, right? But they'll do, you know, just allocating equal time to people who are speaking in favor of and against an item. That would be the only other thing.
All right. I feel like that gives me enough direction. I'll play it by ear. And the good news is I have found my gavel, so I'm ready to.
Are you going to take it home so that when you're working at home, you can use it too?
It's traveling with me now.
Okay.
Kendra? So
then, as far as on the agenda, are we okay to just kind of leave public comment down at the bottom, or should we be adding public comment under each agenda item that's an action item, or how do you want to determine how we agendize that?
So the answer to your second question is no. It's a given that on any action item that I would be allowing for public comment. I don't believe that we need to state it that way. As far as whether we want public comment at the beginning of the meeting or the end of the meeting, I'm open-minded about that.
I think it makes more sense at the beginning, because I think when it's at the end, then people are inclined to comment on the previous items. Whereas if it's at the beginning, it makes it easier for people to remember it's not supposed to be in relation to a specific item. So
Which has been our practice.
Yeah, and so Kendra, I actually think it gets removed from all the other days except Tuesday, and that we add back in that comment that's on our normal agenda that says something like public comment is only for items not being considered on the agenda or something like that. And so it's for the purpose of general public comment, and then we have a public comment time available for any action item. But we don't have to list that on the agenda, like Tim said.
So, Kendra, beginning on Tuesdays.
Only put it on the meeting on Tuesdays?
Yep.
At the beginning?
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, we made a decision. We're good.
I don't want to drag this out. I guess maybe just as I'm thinking about this, does it hurt to just put it at the beginning of all of our meetings? Because then it's shorter. You know, if people have something to say, they can just pop in on that day and we don't have to, not that I think we're going to have a flood of people on Tuesdays. I don't have any idea.
Well, two things. Number one, this discussion justifies me bringing it up again for some common understanding. And then number two, I think sticking with what we have traditionally done is probably the wisest course of action until we find some reason to do something different.
Yeah, let's just try it. I'm fine with that. But I'm open to the idea of putting it on the agenda every day if that seems to make more sense, you know.
Well, I'm glad that you're open to that. Thank you.
Anytime, Tim.
Anything else while we're awaiting Claire's arrival?
So don't we have to sign out? We have to go into the other room.
You guys need to log out of this. Well, go into executive session, log out of this one, re-log in to the executive session link that I sent you.
Oh, I see. Claire's not going to join us here. All right.
No. And so then you need to make the motion. Yeah, Tim.
Yeah. And so I'm always, this is the one where we are electronically recording but not taking minutes, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So let me I, acting as chair, move that the Board of County Commissioners go into executive session to discuss PDR Project 190 this executive session is being electronically recorded, but this is an executive session for the following purpose: to discuss the purchase, acquisition, lease, transfer, or sale of real personal or other property interest under CRS section 24-6-402-4A. I caution each participant to confine all discussion to the stated purpose of the executive session, and that no formal action may occur in the executive session. If at any point in the executive session any participant believes the discussion is going outside the proper scope of the executive session, please interrupt the discussion and make an objection. It is Tuesday, June 9th, and the time is 10:47 a.m.
Put out your email and I am it for when we all come back.
Second.
Okay, thanks.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Kendra, you emailed, did you email us that link earlier today?
Yep, I did.
Let me make sure I have it. Oh, yep, I see it there. Very good. We'll leave this meeting now, and we will rejoin this meeting after we conclude our discussions in executive session. I think we're just awaiting Doug to get plugged back in.
I just resent Doug the new link too, just in case.
So by, I guess we can just gab for a second, by way of happy circumstance, a couple of Saturdays ago, I went to make a dump run and I drove all the way out to Milner and didn't realize that they were closed on Saturdays, which was rather irritating after driving all the way there. And I was so motivated to get rid of my trash, I went ahead and drove down to the Eagle landfill, where I found out that senior citizens dump for free at the Eagle County landfill.
So you'll be headed that direction?
Including tires. Yes. And the thing of it is that it was really only. Yeah. Well, it was. What was funny? It was really only out of a sense of loyalty that I took my trash to Milner anyway, because it's just about six of one, half a dozen of the other. So, okay. The time is now 11:12 a.m. and the executive session has been concluded. The following persons were present at this executive session. We had Kendra Alfieri, and we had our legal staff and the three commissioners. I believe that was everybody, correct? The board limited its discussion to the purpose stated in the motion to go into executive session, and no formal action was taken. So now I would entertain a motion recommend.
So all I think you need to do, Tim, is we need to direct staff to put it on our agenda for tier two approval next week, so, or whenever they have it scheduled for. So we don't actually need a motion, I don't think. So
we're just stating for the record that we are accepting the PDR board's recommendation to approve tier two documents related to PDR project 191 and direct staff to place the project on the commissioner's agenda for funding approval, noting that all tier two criteria has been met. Thank you very much, Kendra. Appreciate your work on PDR projects. And I guess at this time, we can move on to the rest of our agenda. Eric, are you with us for consideration of the continued declaration of a local disaster?
I am here. I'm going to ask Linnea to take the lead on moving this one forward.
Good morning. This is simply a request to consider and approve a resolution that would continue the declaration of a local disaster. We've basically been doing this every 30 days. The current declaration expires tomorrow. This resolution makes no changes other than the extension, and again, for another 30 days.
And Lynette, what is the purpose of a disaster declaration?
The primary purpose in my mind is to ensure that we can qualify for reimbursement funds. This also follows in line with the continuation of the disaster declaration that the governor has been doing.
Are there any questions or comments from the commissioners?
Do we have a number? So we need a number. So, and again, I'm supportive of us continuing this resolution at this point in time. So we still need to, I think we're still, who knows what part of the disaster we're in right now. So whether it's the front, the middle, or the back of the middle of the front. So, hey, we're good. We're somewhere still in the emergency.
I do have a question. So when would we suspend the declaration or end the declaration? Is it once we expect there to be no more expenses related to the disaster? I mean, is that pretty much based on what Linnea said? Is that what I understand to be the case?
I was kind of under the understanding that we would probably end this disaster when the president ended the nationwide declaration as well. So, I mean, maybe unless we still had evidence that the local emergency was still happening after the presidential declaration had ended. And I thought we had it, there was a date for that presidential declaration to end somewhere.
So you think it's more related to the presidential than to the state, or it would be related, we would think about both? I guess I just don't know. I mean, I obviously we're still in this dealing with we're in the recovery phase of the disaster, but we're still in it and we're still expending money. So I guess I'm just not sure at what point we decide that we're out of it. Is it?
I think you just answered the question, Beth. You
don't really.
Yeah, you just answered it right off the bat. So, yeah, I think you're right. The president and when the governor says we're kind of better, and when we think we're better, I think, you know, so right now at this point in time. So, again, it does help us qualify whether we get reimbursement from the FEMA, and the rest is a whole different thing. But so. Yeah.
I have a question. Would there be any reason to consider more than a 30-day time frame for these? Or does it make sense for us to come back and revisit this every 30 days? And I guess that question is directed at Linnea. Is there any legal implications to the 30 days, or that's just kind of what we do?
I hate not having direct answers for you. I apologize. I cannot find anything in the statute that relates to the 30 days. However, it is very standard practice across the board from what I've seen for these to be done in 30-day increments. So that is the lead that I've been following.
That's good enough. I'm fine with 3 days. We can revisit that 30 days from now.
Yeah, I'm fine with that too.
This is going to be resolution number 2020-034.
I don't have any other questions, comments.
I'm great. Are you, do you want to make, do you want me to do this, Doug? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, go ahead. I have it right here too. So
yeah, no, sounds good. Mr. Chairman, I move to approve resolution 2020-034. A resolution continuing the declaration of a local disaster for another 30 days in effect through July 9th, 2020.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Kendra, what time was Kathy Nelson planning on joining us?
She's here. She's in the attendees. I see her.
We should promote her.
It's to a panelist, it's though.
Thinking. Right, yeah, just to the bad, right. That's what I meant.
There we go. Okay, that's better. I was felt like I didn't have control there.
No, Kendra has all the control. So,
okay.
But you've been promoted, and we look forward to hearing you talk to us about the employee survey.
Okay, so I can share my screen on the employee survey, but since I had sent it out to you all ahead of time last week, I didn't send it out again. Would you like me to share my screen? I think you should share it because we have some folks that are just listening in. Okay, so bear with me here. See how my technical ability works out. Okay. Okay, can you guys see anything yet? It says I'm sharing, but yeah, really,
we see it. You're good.
Okay. Okay, so we carried out an employee. Do you want it big or small? Is this okay? Can you guys see it? It's fine okay, with so me either way. Okay, so we carried out a survey and just under 50% of Rauch County participated in it. So we have probably just under 280 employees and I think 127 people participated, and which, you know, wasn't perfect, but I felt like the feedback that we got was valuable. Some of the things that we learned through this process were that employees, when asked how they were feeling, I think some of the commonalities were that people were feeling concerned, stress, a little bit anxious. But there were, you know, following some of that was people felt healthy and hopeful. So I think that that's good to know. I feel that it's important for us to acknowledge that this is an exhausting experience for employees from a workload standpoint, for a lot of people, also from an emotional standpoint. So I think it's good for us to know that and create a plan of, you know, are we patting our people on the back for the work that they've been carrying out and addressing all their needs? Do you guys want me to, how would you like me to go through this? Would you like me to go through it page by page or give you highlights or what would be helpful as far as your preference on how and the amount of time that we have?
I don't think we're rushed for time here, Kathy. I'm happy to discuss this for however long it takes to make sure we all understand what we're looking at.
Okay. All righty. That sounds good.
So going through, we'll go through a page by page. So it talks about recent communications from my organization's leaders have been helpful to me. You'll see that basically 61% said that recent communications from the organization has been helpful. So I feel like based on that information, we've been doing a halfway decent job of communicating with our people. 17% disagreed, and then you'll see 20% were, you know, on the fence on that. Recent communication from organizations' leaders that were helpful, 61% basically said they agreed with that. And then we had 17% said no, they felt that, you know, there could be improvement. Recent communications from my manager or supervisor that have been helpful. You'll see here that 70% of the population agreed. And I personally think those are pretty good numbers from the people who participated in the survey. To me, I feel like that shows that we're doing a pretty good job in how we're reaching out. And we did get some feedback in the notes, which I can talk about a little further on, that where some people felt that they could have used a little bit more. But overall, I feel like the population feels pretty positive about it.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Go ahead.
I'd like to jump in on that, Kathy. Thanks. Especially when you consider the neither agree nor disagree number, that could very well represent a group of people that really just honestly are not all that concerned one way or the other about whether they even receive any communications or not. So if you take that out of the mix, the negative number is relatively low. Anything above zero is higher than what we would like, but I agree with you. This is a fairly positive report.
Right. Recent communication from my team members, basically 65% said that they felt communication from team members or peers has been helpful. And then when we got into tools that we were using, as far as which communication approaches you have found to be most helpful during this time, email was the most popular, with video or Skype or Zoom being the second. So you can see, and we asked for two different options here, so that's why the numbers are a little bit funky or seemingly funky, but 83% chose email and 31% chose video. So the email thing is pretty significant. My organization has done a good job adapting to the work changes that have been necessary. 76% said that Rauch County has done a good job adapting. 15% disagreed. So, I think that is very positive. Especially since it was our first pandemic.
I hope it's our last, Kathy.
You know, but at least we know we're up for it if it comes again. No?
I am not up for it.
Okay. All right.
I don't know that we want to be recruited into this. And so we might not have any public servants that don't do any of this stuff. So do this stuff.
You know, I feel like you guys have done a great job, given the swiftness and that this came upon us and the daily changes that happen. And you know, it's kind of fast and furious. And I think that this shows that, you know, overall, the employees think that under the circumstances, you all did a great job. Okay, I understand the health resources and benefits available to me now. 74% said that they understand that and 13% disagreed. Number eight, I understand my organization's COVID-19 pandemic policies or guidelines. So, you know, what has to happen for, you know, working from home, quarantining, all that. So that basically says that 74%, no, I'm giving you the wrong numbers on this. 78% understand the policies and guidelines. When asked which best describes your current work situation, you'll see 76% said I'm going to my normal work site or location at least once in a while. And I'm only working from home now, 24%. So I think one of the things that for me was confusing about this one response was it indicated, it also had in parentheses, I'm an essential worker. And I think that some people, you know, weren't necessarily essential workers, or the, you know, I think it can go either way. A lot of our people were essential workers. Some of them weren't, but they were working remotely or they were going into the office. So I feel like it's kind of a gray area as to what people would choose as far as, you know, I feel like most people would choose yes for this. And I believe that the survey switches. What happened is that if you were an essential worker or you were working, you know, I think they tie essential workers as going into the office. So when it starts to ask questions about if you're an essential worker or not, you can see that the total number of responses kind of changes a little bit. And we'll get to that. Work situation. Overall, how are you doing? Again, I said people are stressed, tired, unsure, uneasy, uncertain, anxious, healthy, overwhelmed, good, busy, frustrated, and hopeful. And those are the terms that pretty much came to the top of all the different words that people selected.
So Kathy, I'd like to interrupt you and ask you a subjective question, which is, do you think what do you call that, a word tree, or what is the name for that thing?
Called a word cloud.
A word cloud.
I wouldn't have known
word cloud. I knew that, I just couldn't remember that. Do you think that word cloud looks significantly different now than it would have prior to the COVID-19 crisis? And I understand that's really, I'm asking your opinion. It's not something that...
I do think it looks different in the sense of, you know, stressed and tired. I think that the pandemic has placed a lot of stress that people wouldn't normally have. And, you know, when people's jobs are potentially at risk, the first thing that happens is they start to think about, am I going to have a job? How am I going to pay my mortgage? Am I going to get sick? Is my family going to get sick? And so I think with all the extra work, or I shouldn't say all the extra work, but I think that there's a certain intensity that has happened with people's work. And you know, if you, I was talking briefly to an employee about this, and you don't have the same amount of breaks, or I mean, some people might, but when you're working remotely, you're just kind of grinding it out. You're getting done, you know, what you need to get done. And you're not having maybe some of those little, hey, how are you, nicety type of things to give you kind of a little break and pick your head up and kind of release some of that stress. And so I think when you combine worrying about finances, worrying about your health, and then kind of really having your nose to the grindstone without breaks, you know, it can be exhausting, but then you look at it and you go, hey, I'm healthy, you know, things are probably going to get better. And so all those terms make sense, but I don't think you would have seen those ahead of time. Sorry, Tim, for the long answer.
So that would lead me to my second question, which is, what was the time frame for this gathering of the data?
So the time frame was, it started on, I'd have to look it up. I think it started on the 6th of May through the 20th of May.
So that would be my next question. I asked you if you thought this word cloud would look different before the COVID-19 crisis. My next question, if we reran this survey, do you think that this word cloud would look any different or better than it looks now?
I think definitely, yes, it would look different. I don't know if it would look better, but it would look different.
Thank you. Carry on.
Okay. So this goes to essential workers. And I think depending upon how you answered that question up above, as far as if you, this particular one here, this is where they started to allow people to answer questions differently. I think if you didn't click on this top one, you didn't get to answer the essential worker question. So you'll see the numbers are a little bit changed here. Okay, so which option best describes your work duties over the last month? So 54% said some of their work duties have changed, 36%, you know, duties are as normal, 7% most have changed, 2% said they had completely changed. Based on if their workload has increased, 56% said yes, 34% remain the same, and 9% decreased. So I'm curious to know, seeing this, what do you all think of the fact that people said 56% increased? What's your point of view on that? Or is that
my workload's increased?
I think maybe the quality of the work, maybe, and the stress level, which then if you equate the stress level back to, you know, quantity of work, it feels like you're doing a hell of a lot more work, and maybe you're maybe still working the same kind of hours, but you know, it's a higher stress thing, which it's draining on everybody, I believe. So I kind of think so.
I think it also, the percentage pretty closely matches the percentage above of people who said their work had changed. And so I think adapting to doing something different, to me, it automatically creates a change in your workload. I mean, to learn to do something new, to add something new to your work, to change the work you're doing. I mean, that is an increase. Even it may be an increase in hours, or it may just be an increase in kind of, you know, the amount of work you need to complete. So that kind of makes sense to me. And like Tim said, I mean, I certainly have been working significantly more hours than I was before this, and the intensity of the work I need to complete during those hours has increased too. To your point, Kathy, about when you're in the office, you maybe have some times where you're maybe not as productive, but times that you're having informal conversations with people in the hallway and some of those kinds of things. And that work environment has changed pretty significantly, which I think also increases kind of that perception of your work load. I mean, I think load can mean hours, but it can mean stress too.
Yeah, I think learning new things, you know, I think that, like you said, I think that's really hard too.
I think Commissioner Melton makes a great point. Anytime, you know, I remember when I had my business and I'd have guys bracketed into certain job functions. And when I asked them to step outside of that and do something different, it was hard on them. And it, I'm sure it did feel like additional work, hard work. So it's a testament, I think, that we have that many, that high of a percentage of employees that have stepped up to the plate to take on different tasks, that are doing work that feels like additional work, and yet general satisfaction remains high. So I think, like I said, I think that's a testament to our staff.
Yep. Okay, thank you for chiming in on that. I appreciate hearing what you all thought. So please tell us more about your worksite location and schedule. So 60% going to their normal worksite as usual, going to work, but my schedule has changed. That's 16% of the population. 13% said I'm going to work, but my worksite location has changed. 11%, I'm going to work, but both my worksite location and schedule has changed. I thought this was pretty telling. How do you feel about your status as an essential worker? I thought these numbers were pretty high, particularly 48% said they felt very positive about it. And I think, as we just discussed, we know that if you were an essential worker, you were doing something new, there was a lot of relearning, or not relearning, but learning something new, a lot of risk of failure potentially, and, you know, a lot of deadline oriented work probably. So the fact that, 74% basically said that they felt positive about it, I thought was good.
I feel like that question is very confusing to me. And I brought this up when Mark first sent us the survey. I don't really know what that means in the context of our employees, because I remember back to the beginning of this, trying to use the COOP plan and trying to understand this idea of essential functions of government. And like, essential functions in this environment just mean something a little different than they might, like if the courthouse building burned down or something. And I had asked that we, if possible, we word these questions a little bit differently. Does essential worker mean anybody who was able to continue working this whole time? Does it mean anybody who, you know, because we have what would be, you know, really a different type of emergency, or an emergency where we really had to do a significant reallocation of resources. We have people doing work that we might consider non-essential government functions in a different type of emergency, or if we had different resource needs. And so this idea of saying that a person is essential within government, it's a little confusing, because to me, it's more about essential functions. And this question isn't really about that. I think if I were looking at this question, I'd say, wow, I feel really great that I was able to keep my job, that I still got paid, that I was able to work this whole time. And that's how I would interpret this question. But I don't know if everyone would interpret it that same way. So I feel like we should just, take the answers in context, I guess, considering that it's sort of a weird concept. Like, I understand, okay, a grocery store worker is an essential worker because they have to go to work. They're doing an essential job no matter what. There's not a lot of the jobs within the county that I would put in that I would think about in that exact same way. So I guess I just don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think it also has to do with what the communication was from the department head to the employee. So I think about it, you know, when we did those work plans. And, you know, I had three people, you know, there were three of us who were essential workers and absolutely needed to continue working. And then we had another person that only became essential when they were doing that volunteer work that was critical to the, you know, the work of the pandemic. So I think it depends on how you were you know, what the communication was, and if you were aware of plans that were created during the pandemic.
But I do think if you go backwards to how people got in here, I mean, there was that one question that basically equated being an essential worker with going to your work site at least occasionally, which is just not how I would define essential worker personally. Like, we had people who had to come in because they didn't have VPN access or because they didn't have a laptop. That doesn't automatically put them in a certain category as an essential worker. I don't know. I just think it's right. A little, I don't want to undermine the results of the survey. That's not what I'm saying. I just think we should interpret them in context, considering that I find this essential worker concept a little problematic.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Once they asked that one question as far as where you were working and they separated the staff as being essential and non-essential, then I think it kind of muddied things because some of us were essential and we weren't coming in at all. So I agree with you.
So I think it kind of morphed after the initial part. We kind of probably thought what was essential in a two-day event or what normal emergency might be. And then it went into, morphed into a 10-day event. And now we're into the third month. And then I guess my bottom line, being the conservative jerk that I am, the fiscal nut, that all of our employees are essential. That's why we have them. So if you get down to the bottom line, so.
Yeah, and just so you know, we did not have an option of modifying these questions. This was a canned survey that, you know, pretty much we got to do what, you know, this was the only option that was available. Okay, so did you expect that you would be considered an essential worker in a crisis situation like this? Surprisingly, I was surprised at least. Maybe you guys aren't, but 77% said they were aware that they'd be considered essential, which out of 96 employees, that I thought that number was big. Okay, I have the equipment and supplies that I need to protect myself on the job right now. 64% said that they do have the equipment and supplies needed to protect themselves. 18% disagreed. When asked, I am able to maintain adequate physical distance from others in my work location. 80% said that they are able to maintain an adequate physical distance from others. 12% disagreed. Please list three tools or resources that would help you to feel more connected, more safe, or more productive in your workplace. And you'll see in this cloud, some of the answers. I would say that the biggest response was related to technical equipment and services, the printers, scanners, VPN access, laptop, phone, faster internet, regular monitor, two monitors, and a Zoom account. So that was the most common response. Then it came down to protective personal equipment and workplace setup. People talked about barriers, sanitizing wipes, masks, thermometers, others wearing masks at the office, the ability to social distance, hand sanitizer, less in-person meetings, open windows, better ventilation, and increased cleaning services. The third most common response was communication. People talked about more guidance, contact with others, more Zoom meetings, transparency. On the flip side, someone wanted fewer meetings, and then overall clearer communication and feedback on how things were going. Do you all want to comment on this, or do you want me to just move forward?
Don't worry, Kathy, we'll jump in and interrupt you when we feel like it.
Okay, so sounds good. What best describes your work duties over the last month? And it talks about my work duties are being carried out as normal, 42%. That was, for some reason, that was surprising to me. 42% said some of my work duties have changed, 13% most of my work duties have changed, and 3% my work duties have completely changed. And I think because, you know, for me, my work duties have had changed significantly, though I think my staff probably just kept doing what they continued to do. And that was true for most of the, you know, a good part of the population.
This seems like an interesting one, like on Doug's, the question Doug has been bringing up about how many people do we have that are able to work from home? And, you know, this doesn't fully capture that, obviously, because this is only 13 people. And there may be some of those folks that ended up in the other group that also could work remotely. But just knowing that, you know, we have this percentage of our staff who can complete their normal work duties from home, you know, and that they've been able to do that. Although it may be that some of these folks where their work duties have changed, it's not because they can't do their normal work from home. It could be because the work that needs to be done right now is different too. So
I'm going to say it's 11:50 and I think I have until 11:55. And one of the things, I can continue going through this, but one of the things I wanted to make sure we talked about is distributing this information. I don't know if we can go long or, and you want to keep going through these results, or we should talk about next steps on how we disseminate this information.
I think that would be good, Kathy. I mean, we've all had the opportunity to review this, and it was nice to review it with you. But I think that the gist of the results of the survey are apparent at this time. And talking about how we go about releasing it to staff, I think would be a good thing. I'm not in a big hurry, but unless my fellow commissioners object, I think that's probably the most important thing for us to talk about right now.
I'm okay. Fine with that, except if there's anything specific in here that you wanted to highlight, Kathy, anything that jumped out to you that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, I think that, you know, the important thing is, you know, here, when we talk about, I have the tools and technology to be productive at home, you know, only 31 people responded to this, but 55% said they strongly agreed. And then down here, what, you know, when it's possible to return to work, I would prefer to work remotely part of the time. So again, there were only 22 responses, but 21 of the 22 responded that they would like to work remotely part of the time. So I think that, you know, from my experience, when you carry out a survey, it's important to, you know, disseminate the information in a timely manner so that the responses that we did get are still somewhat timely, and in the context of, particularly since we're in a pandemic, of the environment that we're in. So my recommendation was to, you know, and I think I shared that with you all, to put together a brief memo that kind of gave, you know, the numbers of the survey. But also I think that in addition to providing the survey and this memo, it would be beneficial if we put together, you know, are there any action items that we want to take based on the feedback that we've gotten? And I think when we look at some of the things that, you know, the words that came back as far as being stressed and tired and anxious, and then about some of the tools that they would feel where they could use to feel better connected related to PPE or technology, I'm just wondering, should we respond, or do you want to respond in a way that says, hey, we still are working on a telework policy? Are there changes that are going to be happening in the IT world that would allow for greater flexibility, or what do you think would be important to communicate?
Personally, I think we're a little ahead of right now. I think I liked your memo that you came up with, Kathy, and I think we ought to get it back to the employees. And I kind of think we need to dwell on it. And you know, I guess it'd be a great conversation for Mark. Excuse me. It's COVID. Oh my gosh. Well, no, it really isn't. But anyhow, it's a hay fever. But so,
cover your face.
I know. I think it'd be a great conversation for the department heads to have with Mark and the rest too. And you know, I'm way more open than I would have ever been before this thing. So I think that, you know, I want to figure out how we can do this. But at this point in time, I just think that we ought to get out the your memo and that you had kind of provided and see what the response is, and have the department heads kind of chat about it a little bit too, and see what they all think too, maybe with all of us.
I agree with Doug that I think having a conversation with the department heads, because they know their employees and their staff and what they're hearing and talking with them about. You know, I think this gives us a good big picture, but I don't see a lot of specific takeaways except two things. One is really focusing on a permanent, you know, work from home policy that's going to meet the needs of our staff. We don't really know how long we're going to be in this current environment, but I think after this whole thing is over, I mean, we saw that 100% of the people who said they're working remotely said they wanted to be able to continue working remotely to some degree. And I think that's valuable information to understand what kind of policies would we can come out the other side of this with. So I think that's the first thing. And then I think the second thing is just, it stood out to me that consistently across all of the questions, we had a pretty similar percentage of people who were in the kind of the negative category, the strongly agree or strongly disagree. I don't know if that's all the same people every question, but my hunch is that probably represents the percentage of our staff that is dissatisfied kind of overall and generally, and maybe I'm wrong about that, but I'm kind of picturing people who are feeling really unhappy going through this survey and just clicking the negative response on every question. And again, maybe that's not what happened, but I think it's worthwhile to hear from the department heads, you know, do you have a staff member or two who does seem really unhappy, and how do we respond to that? You know, what does that look like? I mean, sometimes if you're unhappy, you just need a different job, and that's fine. But you know, 12% is not a small number if it really is the case that we consistently have 10 or 12% of our staff that feels dissatisfied. That to me does seem like kind of a high number. And again, I don't know if we can infer that from this survey or not, but looking at the results and noticing that percentage was pretty consistent across the questions just makes me want to ask some questions of the department heads of like, what are you seeing and hearing from staff that you think could contribute to our understanding of the results of this survey?
Okay. Yeah, it would be nice. I don't think there's really any way to do it, but when we look at that consistent percentage of people that would appear to be less than happy with the way things are going, it would be wonderful if there was some way to find out from them what they suggest ought to be changed to improve their environment, but I'm not really sure how you go about doing that.
I think it depends on how this is emotionally hitting you. I mean, I know we've had a number of comments from people on
their dissatisfaction. And I think sometimes I try and bring that up at the department head meetings, whether it's people need to wear masks or I'm working really hard and need a break, or some people want to come into work. I mean, there's, it just really depends on, you know, as you guys know, you're managing the different counties and responses, and people have different schools of thought on how all this should get carried out. So
in any case, Kathy, to more specifically answer your question, I think I'd kind of echo Doug and Beth's comments. I'm not sure that I would be ready to identify any particular action items. You know, the two takeaways were pretty straightforward, which was the, you know, yeah, we need to continue working on our telework policy because there seems like there's some real opportunities there. And, you know, we can always do a better job of communicating no matter what we're doing. If there's improvements that we can make on communication to the staff at large, we should look for ways to do that. But specific action items, I don't think we're ready to do that yet. And I thought Doug made a great suggestion. This is something for department heads to chew on and maybe come back to us with some ideas through the county manager about what we could be doing better.
Okay, that sounds great. I will reach out to department heads probably through our meeting that we have with Mark, if Mark thinks that's okay for us to do that, and get some additional feedback that I can provide to you all. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Kathy. All right.
My closing comment is, and again, I keep saying this a little bit, but we are in a new time and a new COVID after time. So what we had in the past doesn't necessarily mean that's what we ought to be doing in the future. So I'm flexible, and we figure out how, you know, each of the departments want to kind of, how they can perform their tasks and do, you know, leave it back to them. We're not micromanaging that stuff. So that's all good.
Okay. Thank you. You can put me off the important list now, or however I got in here.
I think it's called a demotion, Kathy. Yeah. You were demoted, and now you get demoted.
Okay. No more Hollywood Squares for me.
I haven't heard that before. That's a pretty good reference. All right. I think we're on to our unstructured free time here for our COVID-19 work session. What do we want to talk about today? Or do we just want to save it all for tomorrow?
I have two things I need to ask you guys about. So the first is that Kate Nowak emailed, and you might know or you might not know that the HRC has kind of a, I forget what it's called, like a plan, I guess is really what it's called. It's a health and human services plan. And I think it's a 3-year plan, and they were supposed to do a new one this year. And Kate is just requesting that they push that back to do a couple things. Obviously, nonprofits are pretty overburdened right now, and they have a lot of work. And then the other is just that things are changing, as you know. And so she'd like to just delay that so that that new plan sort of reflects the new reality. And I assume that's fine, but just wanted to check in with you guys that I could tell her that was no big deal.
Seems like a no-brainer to me.
I would agree. It's kind of like us making the master plan, you know, the Ralph County master plan, and then not knowing what today looks like and not knowing what tomorrow looks like. And so, yeah, I'm totally comfortable with that.
Great. And then the only other thing was I had sent you guys that email about restarting up our monthly commissioners column. And just going to a little more, you know, freeform concept rather than, you know, we had been working with Slade and kind of deciding topics and that sort of thing. but I had sent you a schedule, which I think would be Tim for next month. And I just wanted to make sure everything was all right with that. I think Robin can kind of keep us in line in terms of the deadlines and that sort of thing. And I'm sure she'd be happy to review and edit, but I just want to make sure you guys were good with that and that it was, maybe we could get some calendar invites to make sure that everyone has that on their calendar. But are you guys all right with that? With what I sent?
You know what? I'll be honest with you, Beth. I have not read it yet.
All it said was, hey, let's do our column again. Lisa wants us to. And then I just put in there a schedule. And you're up first, Tim. So that's it. That's all it said.
Okay.
You can write about whatever you want. That's the other thing. It's right. Write about whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm good with that too, Beth. And again, thanks, Robin, for wanting to whatever. So, yeah, we need all the supervision I can have. But so, but
anyhow. So I just wanted to request Robin, or we could assign it to Kendra or Deanna too, whatever makes sense. But just that somebody keep us on track with turning those in on time. But other than that, I don't really think much is needed. Clark is back here with some yard signs. Do you see this?
I want to write about the Zen, the Zen of ice hockey. Is that an appropriate subject?
I think you can do whatever you want, Tim.
Okay.
So, yeah, but all I really wanted was for someone to just keep us on track with those things.
So I'm like I said, I'm good with that. I think it's a good idea. And again, I appreciate maybe the little more flexibility and not like we want to have a free for all or not like we want to whatever. So.
Yeah. Well, I think if you look at this, what the city council members do, they just kind of write about whatever is of interest to them that month, you know, about something that's going on or, you know, an agenda item that they have been discussing or are going to discuss, about trying to work with their kids in the background. And I'm fine with that. I think it lets people kind of hear each of our voices and understand where we're at. I just want to make sure that I don't have to try to herd everyone into doing it.
Robin, I see you leaning forward.
I was just going to say, I'm happy to put an editorial calendar and get it on your calendar invites and just be a pain to make sure that you write it. And then I can look it over just to check for typos and stuff like that.
So to me also, this has been kind of a concern of mine, but just so we kind of agree on the objectives that we're trying to achieve. And so if we agree on those objectives, man, I'm really, really good about that. So we can kind of, you know, our objective is to communicate to our electorates and what we're doing. And so that we can kind of come up with that and keep that. And that helps me anyhow, at least, to kind of come up with the theme of why we're writing it and the rest and what we're trying to achieve through writing these. And again, so I'm all good with that. And again, just so we can kind of come up with a pattern or something that would help me. Thank you.
I'll take that on. No problem.
All right. Is that it for you, Beth?
Yes, except making sure that you know you're first, Tim.
Yeah, I understand. I think I heard
okay.
that.
Great.
I'm writing that down right now. Tim's first.
Perfect. So I think that means that it will be July, you know, whatever the first week of July is when it would be printed, July 6th, and then it would be due the week before that. And typically we try to shoot for Monday, but it's...
Came back from a search.
Oh, sorry, my phone's talking. But it's Wednesday at the very latest, the prior Wednesday, and it's 600 words.
Great.
That's all I have.
Did you have anything you wanted to bring forward?
So I guess my question, so we are having this request from the chamber. We're going to talk about that tomorrow during our meeting. So, and again, I don't know. We just got to figure out how we're going to get our arms around it. So I don't need to talk about it today and talk about it tomorrow either. But again, I just want to make sure we all have a process. We had a very good discussion at the policy group yesterday. So those minutes just came out. Kendra sent those out today. So just now, a bit ago.
So I was going to bring up the same thing, which is, so have we in fact identified a process by which the recovery team will look at these things? I don't feel like we have.
I think we just ask them to look at it, Tim. I guess I don't know what other process is needed. I mean, can't we just send it to them and say we would welcome your comments? I think the biggest thing in my mind after looking at that is, you know, we have a suggestion from these sectors about what would be helpful to them and what they would like to see. And we have to evaluate that in terms of risk from a, sorry, Clark is super loud. Hey, bud, can you quiet down? risk in from a public health standpoint. And then we also need to evaluate the impact on our staff and on our resources, which I think is the part you're talking about, Tim, right? So tomorrow I have to assume we'll talk with public health, but I don't see any reason we couldn't say to Mo, hey, can you talk about giving us some feedback from the recovery team? I don't see any reason that would be a problem.
Yeah, we absolutely want feedback from them. I guess
in what form, Tim?
How are we going to take all these various variance requests?
We only have one variance request. I guess I don't know what you mean by various. We've only received one thing. I mean, we know that maybe the fair would like to be included. We know that Triple Crown has asked to be included. We know, and other than that, but all that is really, I mean, I think it could be incorporated if we chose to. I really think that Carrie, I know, will talk to CDPHE and understand kind of what they are willing to approve. And I think we need to talk through it. But I guess I don't see any problem with just saying to the recovery team, we want you to take a look at this. Let us know of any comments or concerns that you want to bring to our attention. And then Mo can just convey those to us for our consideration. I imagine that the conversation tomorrow will go a lot like it did with the restaurants when they said, hey, we want a variance. This is kind of what we're thinking. We had some discussion with our public health staff about what we would be comfortable including. And then they went and did work on it. And then we reviewed a final product. I think that's at least what I'm picturing is going to happen. Is there something that you have a concern about? Or do you think
that's really simple and straightforward. I'm sure we'll just breeze over.
No, I'm sure the conversation won't be simple and straightforward. But I think the process is relatively straightforward, which is we figure out what we want to include. We let staff and use their expertise to work through the details, and then they come back to us with a final product that we can sign off on.
So is it safe to assume at this point in time that the recovery team as a group has not seen this variance request yet, or do they understand when they're supposed to come back to us with comments? Robin, I see you. Why don't you verbalize what you're doing with your
hand? You may want to ask Mark to weigh in, but Mark, Mo, and I, and Carrie, Ladro, and Brian, we've been having conversations about this anyway. So Mark, why don't you start and I'll add to it.
Yes, thanks, Robin. Commissioners, I did in fact get a communique from Mo early this morning and asking whether or not there's an expectation that the recovery team is indeed going to begin to pre-review these variance requests and provide their feedback. And I said that certainly was the direction that I sensed from the commissioners in our conversation in the last 48 hours. So right now, the profile is that they indeed would do a review and an overview of those and then provide comments and feedback to you, the commissioners. So that's that's pretty much the direction that they're taking at this point in time. We can certainly adjust that, but that's where they're headed at this point.
When can we expect to see those comments?
So we have our recovery call tomorrow. And so Mo's plan was that we would discuss it. So it was getting circulated today so that everybody would see it. I've drafted a document for us to kind of fill in the blanks. It's kind of what I sent you before, so that we have a uniform process for all variance requests and are asking similar questions. I started it, and then the plan is for the rest of the recovery team, environmental health, public health, accounting, everybody else on the recovery team to put in their two cents of kind of the resources that it would be needed, and kind of looking at what you all identified, economic benefit, community benefit, and risk assessment. The idea is for Mo and Mark to tell you what the recovery team talks about tomorrow, and that we'd actually also have a document that we could send you so you don't just have it in verbal form.
So I want to just throw in my two cents, which is that something that I said a couple weeks ago when we started down this path. I feel like we, the commissioners, need to evaluate the value of the variance request for our community, and we need input from public health on the risk. And what my opinion is, what we need from county staff is their input on the county resources required. I get worried when we're gonna drag this process out and we're gonna make it more complicated than it needs to be, just to make sure we have every single person gets to give their two cents about the process. And I think what we need from, in my opinion, what we need from our staff is their perception of the resources that are going to be required to implement this. I think we've gotten the economic benefit piece from the chamber. I think we can evaluate the community benefit, and we've gotten some feedback from the policy group on that front. And then I think that the risk side of it comes from public health, in my opinion.
Oh, I would concur with Commissioner Melton on that totally. That's one of those, yeah, totally agree. We don't need another system in the middle of the system to evaluate the system. So I do get a little worried about that. You know, we have identified the criteria. Robin, you hit right on top of that. And and it's kind of like when we got into the executive management team, they're making their decisions for us. And that's not what their job should be. Our job is to be making those decisions. And so, again, I appreciate the SWOT analysis or whatever, the strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities and threats, and to analyze, you know, where we're at here. But I don't want a cookie cutter evaluation to come back with saying, well, this is what you should do. Man, that risk really kills me, being control freak that I am. So anyhow,
I also think this, there's so much, it's hard to turn this into something that's fully objective, you know, and I think we could overanalyze it to death, but in the end we have to do the best we can and just make the best decision we can from a balancing standpoint, and trying to quantify that, I think, just becomes trying to quantify it and trying to get input from any person who may have any interest in giving input. I think it unnecessarily drags the process out when this is a little bit of like, we're just doing the best we can to figure it out. Nobody knows for sure. And I think the best framework we have, quite frankly, is CDPHE telling us what they are comfortable with, and our public health folks telling us what they are comfortable with. So I feel fine going forward with having the conversation tomorrow and giving direction to staff, and the input from the EOC being about the resources needed to implement if the variance were approved.
So the other thing that concerns me is we still kind of the same kind of thing we've been doing with this whole thing. We have like three or four different groups all working on the same thing. So we have the policy group working on this thing. Then we have the EOC or the recovery team working on it. And so, and then, well, the commissioners are, well, so I just, you know, we're all kind of, it's all self-inflicted brain damage sometimes, what we end up doing to ourselves here.
So. I think that's sort of my point, Doug, about overanalyzing this. Like, we know that what is generally being requested is the ability for groups to have larger events than what's currently allowed. And we just need to work through the details of exactly what that looks like and what that means. I don't know what else we do except get it in front of us so that we can just actually get to the finish point. Because if we don't do that, we're going to just end up where we were before, which is, well, we know the governor's about to come out with a new order, so let's not do any unnecessary work, you know, and we're 3 weeks away from now. So I really feel confident that we can get there. If we just have this conversation tomorrow and request that information from the EOC.
So process-wise, on tomorrow's agenda, do we have documentation of the variance request?
I believe that Kara emailed us this morning, and then I said, do we want to add this to our agenda? So it's just a matter of whether Deanna and Kendra got it posted on there. And if they didn't, they can probably do that.
Yeah.
Tim, there's also, I asked Kendra and Deanna to add another item to your Board of Health meeting, and that only came up early this morning in a conversation with Todd Carr. And it's hopefully it's not that big a lift, but I do think it's very timely. We wanted to get it in front of the commissioners as quickly as possible. And that is that the guidance letter that the commissioners issued for contractors seems to now be dated. And it, for instance, the instructions that we've got about out of county workers that come in to work on a construction project in terms of the amount of time they need to be here before they're able to return back to their home base. So that's a little bit out of sync, of course, with where we are now. We also may want to also re-examine where we are in the square footage parameters that we put in place. It's not an opportunity. It's not something that has a stop date. So in other words, we don't have a sunset date, but it's just a matter of probably whether or not you just want to rescind the guidance letter at this point. And then what we'd essentially do is we defer to the governor's orders, the statewide orders relative to construction projects. But again, given what's going on, as always, it's our busy season in the contracting industry. These seem to be a little bit dated now, and kudos to Todd that he recognized that and brought it forward. And I thought rather than wait another week, we would ask you to take a look at that tomorrow morning.
And that documentation and the documents from Kara have been uploaded to the agenda. So they're all there.
Okay, good.
So have they been addressed as a decision item then? I mean, the Todd thing, we should be able to make a decision on that tomorrow. So have they been agendized as a decision item? That's good, Mark. Thank you. Yep. Yeah. Sounds good.
I guess I'm confused about the language of rescinding a guidance letter.
Yeah.
But we can talk about that tomorrow with Todd, I guess. I mean, I thought last time we were pretty clear to Todd, like, this is your department's purview, but
right.
Whatever.
And I see Eric's on the call. One of the things, and in this early morning call with Todd, one of the things I asked Todd to do is, hey, let's make sure we touch base with the county attorney office, get feedback, because they'll obviously tell us our the correct protocol in terms of what we do with the guidance letter. And Eric, I don't know if you had a chance to have that conversation with Todd yet, but I know that's in the queue as well.
I did exchange emails. it is just a guidance letter, not something that was enacted by the Board of Health or Board of County Commissioners. But so I don't think a formal action is required, but I do think and recommended that a letter needs to go out that states as much, or else this one's going to be out there in the public and be seen as still in effect, if you will.
So we're not going to be taking official action. We're going to be having a conversation with Todd tomorrow and providing some direction to him, correct?
Right. Maybe the solution is just asking Todd to do another draft of the letter, either rescinding it entirely or portions of it, whatever, wherever that discussion leads.
Well, and so I guess my interpretation of what that letter is it's basically just providing some specific direction to construction sites about what their site mitigation plan under public health order number 3 should look like. I mean, it's more like technical, I guess. I don't know. It hasn't been my impression that we were requiring anything different or extra from the construction sites. It was really just.
So the construction guidance, if my memory serves me correctly, went out prior to the public health order number 3, did it not?
Yes. It went out April 2nd.
We reviewed it and updated it after. I don't know. Okay.
We'll figure it out tomorrow. All right, anything else that we need to talk about today?
So I guess, back to the variances and the rest, and again, so, it's come up a couple times, and Carrie brought it up this morning in an email, whether it's up to us or whether it's Mark or somebody to find up some more resources to help with those, if we're going to keep it to one variance, that's fine. So we'll file one variance, but if we have more than that, we talked about it yesterday during our policy meeting as well. This is the staff time that's involved in doing that. So I just want to keep that on. It's on my front burner. I don't want our staff level and our inability to be able to move on a variance be the determining factor on not allowing something to maybe open up and be in a reasonable expectation of things. So
I think I agree with you, Doug. I think that Carrie's comments, though, are also reasonable, which is for us to look at this on the 10th and her to be expected to be ready to turn it in by the 12th is probably also not reasonable, no matter how much staff we have.
I don't disagree at all. Again, so it's all part of the whole. So I'm good with that. So I just don't want us being short on staff with her to be holding up the process. So,
yeah, I agree. We want to move as quickly as we can. But my guess is that those folks probably think that variance request can just be submitted to the state as is, and Carrie probably believes that there's more work that's going to need to be done before it's ready to submit. So I think it's just making sure we're all on the same page. So,
which would be to their benefit, because if a bad variance request goes out, they're going to get nothing.
Right. I mean, Carrie wants to write a variance request that's going to be accepted by the state. And that has to do with being acceptable to public health from a safety standpoint.
So I guess tomorrow we don't need to talk about it today, but I do think we ought to keep in mind the Triple Crown thing, and all that discussion too. So hopefully we can figure out the process of that thing too. I think I won't even say. So, but anyhow, leave it there.
I have opinions too, Doug. My only question is, did the city weigh in on that yet? Because I would absolutely not support submitting a variance request for Triple Crown if the city council does not support us doing that.
Yeah, so at the policy meeting, they did not. So, and again, so Kathy was on, and Jason had another meeting that he had to attend. But so, yeah, so I don't know. And I personally think that that's still something, if they're going to be hitting up, you know, 17 different counties or even 7 different counties, they ought to go take care of the thing themselves a little bit. So
they're only in 2 counties, I think, and it would have to come through public health. Again, without getting into the too much of the discussion, I would like the city's input on what their opinion is on that request before we do anything with it one way or the other.
So
especially if you want to maintain a good relationship with them.
Well, no, and I totally agree with what you just said, Beth. And so maybe we ask Mark to have a conversation with Gary and you know, kind of come up with a joint process on how we want to come up with that. Again, I don't want to lay them under the bus, and I don't want to get laid under the bus with it either. So
I think it has to be a joint decision on whether that should happen or not. You know, the fact that that request came directly to public health, and I'm not clear on whether the city has even had any input on it. And I don't feel very comfortable with that. So I don't know if they're meeting tonight or not. But I agree that having Mark just check in with Gary would probably be the best step, because if they are meeting tonight, Gary can get direction from his council about that. Kendra's telling us that Eric has his hand raised.
Oh boy, this mute button is fantastic. You covered everything that I was gonna raise about Carrie's email. Thank you.
I think the only other thing I'd say is that in terms of variance requests, I don't know if we want to get into the realm of variance requests for one event or even a series of events or one organization. I think the best practice would be it needs to be a category or it needs to be a type of thing, right? Maybe I'm wrong. We can ask Carrie about that a little more. Or it may be a moot point because the city may say, no, we absolutely do not want you to do that. And then it's done. So I think we wait and see.
So Beth, you're actually addressing exactly what I was trying to articulate earlier, is that somewhere along the line, even though you stated earlier that we just have one variance request, I don't think that's really what we're going to be looking at over time here. And ultimately, it's going to fall to us to try to categorize these things and come up with something that works. So,
yeah, I'm sorry, Tim, I'll just clarify. I just mean that in the end, I think we're talking about one thing, you know, a bucket of things, which has to do with events and gathering size, right? And it's a matter of what is included in that and what is not included in that. I don't think we're looking at other categories right now, at least from what I haven't seen anything that I would put in a totally different category. But I agree with you. We have to decide what we do want and what we don't want included in that. And I think that's going to be a lot of risk analysis more than anything else.
Yeah, I agree. I think the gathering size, it all seems to circle back to the gathering size. It all comes back to home. So, and that's kind of what we, and then the mitigation and the risk that, you know, and figure out, and we're asking the state to allow us to be the determining factor and provide adequate mitigation for whatever that risk is that they're asking to have with the varying gathering sizes. So.
Can't wait. All right. Anything else that we need to discuss today? Mark, is there anything you need to bring to our attention?
Unfortunately, I got bounced out for a second when I was going to make a comment. And then when I bounced back in again, I had no audio. So, and I apologize. But circling back to the discussion about the COVID-19 employee survey. And again, very, very appreciative of the fact of the support of the commissioners to allow that to happen. I think as I mentioned before. And I think that sends a really good, very positive message to the employees in terms of your enthusiasm and your willingness to undertake that effort. One of the things I'll ask Kathy to do is to go ahead and get you some comparative numbers, because you may recall that that's a this was an initiative that was provided at no cost to us from CSPHR. They offered this to a number of different public jurisdictions. So I think it would be really helpful to say, if you sent out this same survey to this wide swath of other jurisdictions, what were their numbers? What did they look like? And I think that would be very helpful for you to look at something like that comparatively, because I think your numbers were very strong. I think it was very positive. And I think that if you look at those comparator numbers, I think it'll reinforce that even more. So we'll get that information for you, and I think that'll be very helpful. And that's the only other thing I had. Thanks, Tim.
Robin, you still look like you're leaning forward. No? Okay. All right. And then if there's no...
So I just had one other thing, and I just was thinking about it last night. You know, we still have human services and the rest, and we're still trying to get these departments in during our new modified schedules and new modified meeting times and the rest. And I would be interested to, you know, if we can start trying to figure out our agenda times, you know, a half hour here or there to get like those people in to figure out how COVID world is happening. And Kendra's looks like she's going to say something too, but anyhow, I would love to hear, you know, our communication face-to-face over Zoom to kind of what's happening out there in their world and what they're seeing. So
the only thing that I was going to say on that is what we've done previously has been the county manager has reached out to departments when we used to do like our Monday topics. County manager would reach out to the department heads, talk to them about what they were going to present, and then those department heads would contact me and Deanna to get on the schedule. So I would think it would probably be this same type of format. Mark could reach out to them, let them know about that, and then they can contact me and Deanna. The only question is that you guys have been sitting pretty close to your time frame already, that 10:30 to 1. With the one or two maybe sporadically additional department topics that we've been doing, would you want to be extending your guys' set time a little bit to accommodate that and still be able to make your COVID discussions?
I think, Doug, are you wanting to just kind of get a sense from departments in general about COVID impacts, or are you thinking human services specifically or service levels? Because the other thing I would throw in is just, is it more like Mark working with the department heads to kind of give us an overview of some more specifics about impacts? Or is it about human services specifically? Or is it more like circling back to having maybe an update from the presentation we had before, where we had human services and then we also had workforce and we had economic development? I mean, any of those I could see being beneficial. I'm just curious what you're thinking, Doug.
So I don't know. I just thinking here, I just kind of feel kind of like I'm out of touch with some of the departments, and we're still getting the monthly reports from them. So I guess I'll just withhold my comments. I'll withhold my thought and see it. I want to make sure that there's an avenue for through Mark or whatever, that if we got some concerns, I mean, man, we want to hear about them sooner than later and not after the fact. And so I'll just withhold that thought for a bit, and we'll see. Again, we're still working on getting written reports from everybody, so we'll go from there.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Doug. I think it's nice to just make sure we're accessible and make sure we know what's going on. I'm not super interested in going back to just the rotation of department heads coming and talking to us for half an hour. I'd like it to be more meaningful than that. But I do think just identifying how we can be accessible and be in touch with them is good.
Okay. Anything else?
I just noted that we got an email from Lori Laird kind of scolding everyone for not putting in their COVID hours. And I guess I haven't gotten a reminder from you for a while, Kendra. You're still collecting those for us, right?
Yes, I am still collecting those, although I would say I think it's been probably the same amount of time for all of you since I've received any hours from you.
I don't understand how all the payroll stuff works. So when do you need those? I mean, generally, like, because I've just sort of done it whenever you've sent a reminder, but, well, sort of, maybe like 3 weeks later. But, you know, when, like, what's the cycle for that with the pay date? I mean, is it, are we supposed to do them right before the pay
day? Yes. Or? The way that payroll cycles is every other Tuesday you enter in the payroll. I'm not quite sure how long it takes. Well, Lori did mention in her email that she could go back to May 24th, which would have been in the previous payroll cycle to make the updates. I think it's a little bit different for exempt employees on how that backtracking works. She also said that she would send a spreadsheet of people who didn't have comments in and that type of thing. So I think in regards to commissioner time, that's something that we can go back and do.
So would you mind? Sorry, go ahead, Jim.
I've got to confess that I've completely dropped the ball on my own time, and I kind of still question even the validity of the commissioner's time being accounted for as an actual cost to COVID-19 response.
Well, it's up to us. I mean, if we want to say that exempt or that elected officials don't need to record their time or that exempt employees don't need to record their time, I mean, we make the rules. Is it just the commissioners or is it all elected officials or?
I just think that our role as commissioners is policy guidance. It's hard for me to justify any hours of my time that would be specific to helping us recover from the COVID-19 disaster. I'm just doing what I've always done as a commissioner. I'm not really doing anything different or anything that functionally contributes to recovery.
And I would agree with that too, Tim. And again, I kind of give up on it. I'm with you. I think we gave up the same week. So, I don't know. Maybe the only ones that need time is, you know, our wives have put up with this. So, you know, during this whole thing.
Yeah, my wife's been real busy, Doug. I mean, I don't have a strong feeling. I just, if we're not going to do it, we should state we're not going to do it and we should say why, and we should ask whether there are other people that also don't need to record their time. I have no idea. I mean, I tend to agree with you. I think if we submitted to anybody, the state or the federal government, hey, we need reimbursement because the commissioners have been spending time working on COVID-19 response, that doesn't feel like a very justifiable expense to me. But if we can get reimbursement for it that we wouldn't otherwise be getting, then we should. So I guess I don't know the answer to that question.
So you know what, Beth, why don't we ask that question of our CCAT and CCI compatriots and find out what they're doing. If somebody else has figured out a real justifiable angle towards getting reimbursed, I guess I'd be happy to go back to keeping track of some of my time. But my instinct is that when the inspector general looks at this, he's going to go, are you kidding me? We're not paying for this.
Yeah, and I guess I would say that my hunch would be that would extend to elected officials in general. Maybe not. I mean, that's just sort of my gut on it. I think we do have exempt staff that we can get some reimbursement for their time.
Yes.
But the reason for recording our time would be so that we could potentially receive reimbursement for that money, because that's a benefit to the taxpayers and to the county. If we can't, then I agree with you. There's really no reason to track it. So who's going to find out the answer to that question?
Yeah, we'll check in with Smart Out and CCAT and all of them and see if somebody else is doing it.
That's fine with me. And Mark, if you have anyone that you want to ask that question, maybe just see what makes sense.
I'll reach out to the my fellow managers, especially in the resort counties. You bet.
Great.
I didn't have anything else. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't have anything else either. So
either. Right. Great. My kid wants some lunch, so I'm gonna. Yeah. My wife's not here. My wife's not here to make lunch for my kid.
Spouse. Okay, so I said it wrong. Spouse.
It's all right, Doug. I can forgive you. To be fair, my husband has been working double time to accommodate the amount of work I need to do as well. So it's fine.
All right. We will see you all tomorrow. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.